हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो अर्जुन उवाच जायसि चेल्कर्मणस्ते मदा बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तल्किं कर्मणि घोरे मां नियोजयसि केशव व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसि इव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहमाप्नुयाम् So these were the two verses we were looking at yesterday, wasn't it? So in the first verse, Krishna says to Arjuna, Krishna, oh, why do you urge me to engage in this ghastly warfare if you think that intelligence is better than future work? So again here, if you think intelligence is better than future work, Talkim karmani ghore imam niyo jaisi keshava. So here that intelligence is referring to Arjuna's misunderstanding of that. Arjuna is saying that intelligence, actually the word is, if you look there, in the verse it says that the karmanaste madha buddhir janardana. Sangha yogam was spoken, isn't it, in the beginning. Krishna spoke Sangha Yogam to Arjuna. And after hearing Sangha Yogam, Arjuna misunderstood that it is his intelligence that is actually working. He has not come to the platform of the soul yet. So he says, Madha Buddhir Janardana. And then Talkim Karmani Ghore Imam Niyo Jaisi Keshava. So there is a doubt in Arjuna's mind. That is it something that that knowledge what Krishna has spoken, which I have understood with my intelligence, that is what is to be given priority, or the action with the body has to be given priority. This is all what's happening in Arjuna's mind. The knowledge what has come to him, which he has captured through his intelligence, is that to be given priority, or the actions what Krishna has spoken about, fighting the war with the body, has to be given priority? This is what's going through Arjuna's mind. So he says here, this is confusing, and that's why he said, Vyamishreneva Vakena. That's that word. Next paragraph. Sorry, next verse you see there. Krishna say, Arjuna says, Vyamishreneva vakena buddhim mohayasivame tadegam vadanischitya yenashrayohamapnuyam. That yenashrayohamapnuyam. Translation, if you look, Prabhupada is saying, my intelligence is bewildered. Your equivocal instructions, therefore, please tell me decisively what is most beneficial to me. This is the Arjuna's word. Then, so this second verse has helped to bring to go back to the history of the Karma Yoga. In other words, Krishna decided to now talk about the Karma Yoga's background, where Karma Yoga is coming from. That's why Shri Bhagavan Vacha in the next verse he says, Logesmin Dividanishta Pura Proktamayanaka Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Arjuna, these two things are not actually different. Only thing is, one yoga system at one time practiced in one form, another time practiced in a different form. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. If you can see in the Satyugam and in the Lord Ramachandra's time also, in Tridayugam also, Jnanam was given the high, heavy importance or priority. So therefore, all those in the Satyugam and in the early parts of Tridayugam also, they were more focused on the knowledge aspect, Jnanam. And therefore, Ramachandra's tradition is all based on the Jnanam. Yoga Vasishtam, all these books are based on the Jnanam. But it is in the, after Pururava's time, Pururava's is the beginning of this lunar dynasty, Chandravamsham. Krishna's dynasty, Yadus, comes from the Pururava's. And Pururava's time onwards, it was switched on to Karma Margam or Karma Yoga. So, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Krishna is saying like that. Okay. Now, if you go back, Vyamishreneva Vakena, that Krishna is saying, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Vyamishreneva Vakena, that by the way you have given it to me, it is confusing. He says, should I execute Karma Yogam or should I execute Jnana Yogam? This is the question coming from Arjuna. Arjuna's question is like this. Should I execute Karma Yogam or should I execute Jnana Yogam? Tell me one of them what I should do. Then I'll do that, he says. But the fact is, suppose if Krishna is told, do this one particular Yogam, can anybody do that? No, it's not possible. Why? Because this is a kind of mental frame of mind saying that, oh, if that is given to me clearly, then I'll do it. It's completely the mental thing it is. That means, in your mind, we have made this conclusion that it's not because the instruction is not clear, therefore I'm not able to do it. It's not like that. The instruction is clear. What is actually causing the problem is, in your own mind, the conviction is not there. That's where the problem is. That I'm not convinced yet. Inside, I have not accepted it, in other words. That all that Krishna has spoken is taking me to the point, to the point of truth. So, in spiritual life, to think that everything will be clear and then you will execute spiritual life is a mistake. It doesn't happen like that. That's why none of the acharyas also will present the truth to the extent it is possible that they can. But then it is up to us, and practically, to accept that and to pursue that path and see when the results come. So, when Arjuna says this, that buddhim mohayasivami, he says, you are talking a lot of things and my intelligence is, in other words, Arjuna is doing the same mistake what we are all doing, trying to get it through the mind and the intelligence. So he's saying, buddhi mohaya sivami. Krishna is saying, don't try with the buddhi. It is not on a level which is higher than the buddhi and the mind. Tadegam, Krishna is saying, yena shraya tadegam vada nischitya. ಏನಶ್ರಯೋಹಿ ಮಾಪ್ನುಯಾಮ್ ಇಸನ್ ಇಟ್ ತದೇಗಂ ವದ ನಿಶ್ಚಿತ್ಯ ಏನಶ್ರಯೋಹಿ ಮಾಪ್ನುಯಾಮ್ ಗಿವ್ ಮಿ ಟೆಲ್ ಮಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ವಾತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಮಿ ಶ್ರೇಯಸ್ ತೇ ಶ್ರೇಯೋಹಿ ಮಾಪ್ನುಯಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೇಯಸ್ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಶೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ ದೇರ್ because he is talking about shreyas rather than prayas. You know there are two things, shreyas and prayas. So temporary happiness in this world is prayas, temporary happiness, but eternal happiness, one looking for the final final goal, or in other words, one who knows what is eternally benefit for him, that is shreyas. ശ്രേയാൻ സ്വധർമ്മോ ഗുണാൻ പരധർമാൻ സുനിഷ്ഠിതാൽ ഇൻ ദ ഭഗവത്ഗീത കൃഷ്ണ വിൽ സേ ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് എറ്റേണലി ആൻഡ് പെർമനന്റ്ലി എക്സിസ്റ്റിംഗ് പീസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ശ്രേയസ് യേന ശ്രേയോഹി മാപ്നുയാത് സോ അർജുന ആസ്ക്ഡ് ടെൽ മീ ദാറ്റ് വിൽ ഗിവ് മീ ദി കംപ്ലീറ്റ് ശാന്തി ഓർ പീസ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ സെയിം ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ആക്ച്വലി വാട്ട് വി ഓൾ ഹാവ് ഇൻസൈഡ് അസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വിൽ ഗിവ് മീ ദാറ്റ് പെർമനന്റ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് inside. Actually, in a very subtle level, it is working in everyone's inside. He is looking for that, but he is not looking at the place where it should be looked for. We are all the search in this world is going on only for that permanent thing where we will end up, where there is peace, that eternally experiencing of that peace. So when Krishna, who is inside the heart of everybody, who is our spiritual master as well, when that desire for Shreyas is strong, then from inside, Antaryami, Krishna starts his work. Provided that desire has come strongly inside. It's not the right word, it's not desire. That Shreyas is the only thing that will bring peace into me, that conviction inside, rather than the desire. Desire is there. So many kinds of desires we get in this life. For example, when Diwali comes, a lot of sweets are made at home for Diwali. So immediately the desire starts building up to enjoy different sweets, isn't it? When you want to enjoy the sweets, purchasing new clothes for Diwali. All these are desires. But to come to Satsangam and to hear about Krishna is not a desire. Remember that. It's not a desire. It's not coming from desire. It is a different kind of urge inside. It's not categorized with the desire. Desires are in relationship with the senses. But Satsangam is an urge from inside. And your desires won't bring you to Satsangam. On the other hand, when the desires comes down, that is when the urge for Satsangam comes. When the desires comes down, only then the urge for Satsangam will come. Just like that. When you start recognizing there is not a lot in this world to achieve, there is not a lot to get in this world, when you start feeling the futility of our efforts in this world, and when that realization is developing inside in a subtle platform, only then you will come to Satsangam. Otherwise you won't come. That is the fact of life. Mind will never bring you to Satsangam. Only Krishna's grace will bring you to Satsangam, Kripa. That is Krishna's mercy. We must understand this. That we think that due to my own endeavor, I'm going to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam or in Satsangam. Actually, it is not so. That it is only from inside Krishna is prompting you. Go up, get up and go and listen Bhagavad Gita or go and listen to. Because there is something inside that you are not satisfied with this world. You are feeling that there is a vacuum there. That something is not satisfying your urge. that to find the, to get to the truth. So therefore, that is Krishna's mercy. And that is what he said. If you look into Mujgunda's prayers, I remember this, that verse I mentioned. If you look that very clearly, Mujgunda says there, that Mujgunda's prayers, Mujgunda says, Bhavaba vargo brahmato yada bhave janasya tarhi achuda sal samagamam sal sangamo yarhi tadaiva sadgadau paravaresha tvai jayate mati. That one verse is enough to state that Mujgunda's realization on that. He says there that Bhavaba vargo brahmato yada bhave, that brahmanam means this wandering around in different bodies, which has been going on for so long a time in different bodies. That is brahmanam. Birth, death. So that has gone on a long time. Janasya tarhi achuda sal samagamam. That, but then somebody has prompted from within in one particular life to take Krishna's association through devotees or through salsangam. And then he says here, janasya tarhi achuda sal samagamam. Samagamam means that, samagamam means actually, when you have left someone, then when you meet him again, that is called samagamam. It's not a new meeting. Already we had a connection with Krishna. We lost it. That connection we lost it, got this material body, went through so many different material bodies, and suddenly in one lifetime, Krishna gave us a chance again to come back to Krishna. That is that samagamam, what Mujgunda is talking about. Samagamam is not a fresh meeting. It's already something we knew. Why? Because inside he is there. Krishna is inside us. Eh? We had a connection with him. But today, due to identity with the body, we lost that connection. So, salsamagamam, meeting Krishna again, what we have lost before, is what's happening. Salsangamo yarhi. That's what happens in the salsangam. Tadaiva salgado paravareshe tvai jayate mati. That salsangam yarhi tadaiva sadgado. That salsangam will lead me in sadgati, in the proper direction. Nothing else will lead me. So all these things happens in salsangam. In salsangam we meet Krishna back again, which we have lost that connection before. Plus, it also starts telling us, I am in the right direction. Raiva tadaiva salsangam moyarhi tadaiva salgado, in salgadi, the proper, the thing what we are looking for. Once you know that you are going in that direction, you will automatically feel that satisfaction inside. You will feel that satisfaction. You don't have to reach that point. Even before that, you will feel that happiness inside. Tadaiva salgado paravaresha tvai jayate mati. So, therefore, Krishna is saying that that when this is Krishna's mercy, special mercy to receive, to be in the salsangam and to discuss Bhagavadam. And if we think that, oh, I went for this, I went for that, it will be a misunderstanding. It didn't happen because you made the decision. Somebody else has made that decision. Krishna has made the decision, prompted somebody from within. Let's go and hear about Krishna. Though we are not coming on our own, in other words. Some unknown power from inside is pushing us to go. It's pushing us to go. Krishna's presence inside, this is how you recognize that who is prompting us from within. Yena shrayohim apnuyad. Arjuna said that to Krishna, isn't it? In that verse. Actually, it is not Arjuna's question. Yena shrayohim apnuyad is not coming from Arjuna. That Krishna sitting inside in Arjuna's heart is asking that question. It's not coming from Arjuna. We are thinking that, oh, Arjuna is separate, Krishna is separate, and this question is coming. No. Yena shrayohim apniyad won't come very easily from inside unless there is approval from the supersoul there, from Andaryami inside. Yena shrayohim apniyad won't happen. That's why he said, Yena shrayohim apniyad. It's a non-verbalized question. That means it is there in every one of us, but it doesn't come out either way we want it due to the association with Maya. Maya is not allowing us for that to happen. It is this yena shrayohi mapnuyat is what is taking someone from one guru to another guru, one temple to another temple, one holy place to another holy place, and one shastram to another shastram, and one technique to another technique, one method to another method. Constantly you see people going from one place to another. Why? Yena shrayahi mapnuyat. That's the answer. That he wants that shreyas inside, and he is looking for that, but he is not getting it. So therefore he keeps going from... The search is going on in everyone. You'll go to one guru, then he says, oh, I didn't get this, I go to another guru, like that. Similarly, one temple he goes, he's not satisfied, goes to another temple. Like this it goes on. Similarly, tries one technique, it didn't work, he tries another technique, he chants the japam, it didn't work, then he tries the meditation process. So all these things is yena shrayohi mapnuyat. He is not satisfied inside. Till that shreyas is coming to him, he would not stop this inquiry. This is the answer to that question. Yeah. So, he's going and knocking at different doors, thinking that he'll find it somewhere. Because yena shreyohi mapnuyat, he knows it's somewhere there, it's there. Shreyas is there somewhere. He knows about it. And who is telling him that? That's also from inside. Krishna is telling us, our connection with Krishna is very, very close. We shouldn't think that Krishna is an unknown person somewhere. He lives in Golokam. I am so far away from him. And people are telling, who knows, this is all true. This is the negative way of looking at it. Positive way of looking at it is to remember this, that he is always inside, constantly monitoring our thinking, our thoughts, our actions, and our mind. Everything is under his control. And when something we are doing, even behind that, he is there. That is why in Upanishads you noticed that they mention that all the senses are working, mind is working, intelligence is working, blood circulation inside the body, the digestion of the food inside the body, breathing. Overall, when you look at it, you can see in which activity Krishna is not there. Every single activity, even while moving the hand, Krishna's presence is there, pranayama is working, which is Krishna's energy. So, yena shrayohi mapnuyat is that from all these experiences we know very well inside that thing what we are looking for is there somewhere, but still we find it, we keep on looking everywhere else. That the permanent shelter is there when you get to that point, when you get to Krishna's point. So, body, as you know, it can, Krishna has already spoken about the body. We know about this body's nature. So, the body's nature, Krishna says that, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, isn't it? Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. And we also know that from our own experience, that the body you can't rely on. It will definitely one day cheat us. Janmam Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam, Krishna is saying here, isn't it? So body can get sick, body can become, deformation can happen to the body, and old age also will come and attack the body. So all these things we are experiencing this in this world, even no one telling us, we know about this. So is there any way of escaping from all these things? That is Arjuna's question. Yena shrayohi mapnuyat means all this. That is there any way one can escape from all these kind of situations? So long as we put our attention on the body, so long as we put our attention on the body, there will be continuously distress in this world. You will never be able to escape from that. This is the first and fundamental realization from Bhagavad Gita. If my attention is on the body all the time, what will happen is continuously I have to experience distress in this world. This is the reason most of the advanced devotees or self-realized personalities, they won't discuss body with anybody. They hate to talk about the body. Not that they hate the body. They know it's a waste of time discussing about the body. It's completely a waste of time discussing about the body. Whereas in the mundane level, the only thing we talk about is the body. This whole thing called how are you business is like that. That's where it's coming from, isn't it? How are you? Oh, I'm fine. That's it. That finishes there with that word. What's fine? Body is continuously getting sick, continuously it's failing to do things. So the moment that attention goes away from the body to our pure identity as the soul, then no distress can actually affect you. No distress can affect you. It is not possible. So when distress comes, distress is all in the mind. It has nothing to do with the soul. It's purely a mental experience, this thing called distress and happiness in this world. So from this travel, this journey from the body to the soul is called a spiritual life. That's all it is. If somebody asks what is spiritual life, the answer is this. This journey from the body to the soul, that is spiritual life. Or this realization inside, that happens. We keep on repeating this, isn't it? Same thing, we keep on saying again, again, again. Why is that? Because it took several lifetimes to get convinced that we are this body. And it will take several lifetimes before we can get back to the soul again. So such an extent we are far away from that. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, Lalita Sahasranamam is a famous prayer. Like Vishnu Sahasranamam, Lalita Sahasranamam is the thousand names of Sri Parvati. Famous prayers they are. All the great devotees of Sri Parvati, they know this. These thousand names of Sri Parvati. It's not only thousand names, just like thousand names of Vishnu has a lot of commentary on that. This thousand names of Sri Parvati also has lots of commentaries on that. And some commentaries are very, very deeper level. It's been spoken. There it says, Antarmukha Samaradhya Bahirmukha Sudhurlabha. About Sri Parvati's one of the nature is she is Yogamaya, isn't it? Yogamaya has come. So Yogamaya's nature is like that. Antarmukha Samaradhya Bahirmukha Sudhurlabha. One whose vision is outwardly, external, he will never get it. It's very difficult for him to understand what this is. But Antarmukha Samaradhya, one who has gone inward and start looking the truth there, he will find it. Eventually he will get it. That's why it says there, Antarmukha Samaradhya Bahirmukha Sudhurlabha. For Bahirmukham, it is very, very difficult. So, when we are in the bodily concept of life, what is happening to us is we are situated in the dead body, isn't it? Body is called a jadam. Jadam means it has no real existence. Jadam. That's why it's called a jadam, isn't it? The moment you take the spirit out of that, the soul leave this, as soon as happens, what we want to do? We want to burn this body and finished with it. Nobody likes to see a dead body for a long period of time, isn't it? We will tolerate as quickly as possible. We want to finish with it. And so same thing, mind also. So long as we stay within the body, it is trouble. Attached to the body and living within the body, considering that body is everything, then it is trouble. Same thing while you stay in the mental platform also. You are bound to experience distress one form or the other. In both these things, within the body as well as the mind, both are temporary. On the other hand, we have to go to the permanent thing. What is the permanent thing? Pure consciousness, that I am, which is present in the soul. That consciousness is only present in the soul, not in the body, not in the mind. So unless we move away from the body and from the mind to the soul, the permanent happiness will never come to us. So and that thing, to speak truthfully, it's very simple also, this thing. We find very difficult, because we made it very difficult due to our association with body and the mind, because that is what we are. We are actually is nothing more than that. Nothing is more simpler than that also. What exactly the Shastram is very openly telling us, actually you are soul. But due to this constant attachment to the body and association with the body, we have built it up in us that this is the only truth. The body is the only truth and mind is the only truth. That's how we have conditioned ourselves. So when we come out of that and simply fix this consciousness on the soul, thinking that that is what I am, I am not this body, constantly we have to tell us this fact. So, and if you keep on repeating this, even while some disturbances come to the body and the mind, you will be able to stay unaffected by the disturbances. That is how all the realized souls, jnanis, they go away from this body and the mind to the platform of the soul. So, and the another interesting thing is, the soul is not something that we have to get from outside. It's already there. It's already something what we have got. So, Krishna's point is that to get there, first you have to take Krishna's shelter, Kripa. Krishna's mercy is that, and then it becomes very easy for us to get that. Taking Krishna's shelter, one should approach the soul, not otherwise. If one thinks that I will put my best effort and get it, then you won't get it. Krishna's mercy is always there. One who is looking for it, its mercy is always there. What is required that the Shraddha has to be there. Sakrit vibhadur savidur yatha prabha. There is a statement in the Bhagavadam. Sakrit vibhadur savidur yatha prabha. What does that mean? Savidur yatha prabha means the sun is always shining. And then once the sun has risen in the morning, and then there is no more sunset inside for the soul. That means once it is realized, then you won't have any more problem after that. Even if you that is why yesterday we were discussing, you remember, that once it is realized, once that experience of the soul inside has happened to us, then never again you will miss it. Why? You will go back to it again. That's what he's saying here. Sakrit vibhadur savidur yatha prabha. Then it is like a sun which has risen but which never sets again. It will always be pulling you back towards that. Pulling you back towards the soul again. It will continuously illuminate inside. And when that illumination happens, the darkness will go. Once the attention, Shraddha, goes to Swarupam, one's own form, he will eventually get that clarity that I am not this body. And that is Krishna called it as Brahmistiti. Esham Brahmistiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati. So Krishna is not saying some things that the same thing, Gunatita's quality, Jivan Mukta's quality, Sthita Prajna's quality, pure devotee's quality, a great yogi's quality. In the Shastram they call it as Brahmistiti as Gunadita Lakshanam, Jivan Mukta Lakshanam, Sthita Prajna Lakshanam, Bhagavad Uttama Lakshanam, Yoga Lakshanam. Whichever way you call it, it doesn't matter. Once we have come to the realization platform, then all these quarrels will stop. That you are a devotee or a jnani or a yogi or a bhakta or whatever. Quarrel is all before we get there. Once you get there, they are all speaking the same language. If you look at realized souls, whether it's a jnani or a bhakta or anything, their language is the same because they have seen the experience, the truth already. Till we experience that, all these discussion will go on, whether this is right or that's right, and all kinds of things. So, if you ask, is this all possible for us? You may think, oh, this is all theory, I have nothing to do with it, I'm doing the same thing what I've done so far in my life. There, it's a little bit our mind that is playing the game there. Because if it was not possible for us, Krishna would not have spoken these things. It's a fact, isn't it? Krishna doesn't have to waste his time. We can waste our time. Krishna won't waste his time if he knows that this is not practical. This is practical. But if it is not practical, and if it is not possible, Krishna will not prompt people to talk about it also. We are talking why Krishna is prompting from within to talk about it, isn't it? Similarly, if it's not possible, Krishna won't talk about it either, nor he will bring people to listen about it either. It's not Krishna's that Krishna is enjoying this, that build up some stories and keep us all occupied with the story. No, that's not the reason. If it is not practical, Krishna wouldn't have spoken in a critical state like in the battlefield to Arjuna and to a person like Uddhava, who was his close associate at the time of leaving this world. Krishna is not going to do that. So, only thing is that due to our weakness, due to our lack of Shraddha, or lack of surrender inside us, we are not able to experience that. It is possible, Krishna is saying that, otherwise Krishna wouldn't have spoken about that. So, the thing what says it is not possible is nothing but a chittavritti. It's the activity from the mind. Mind is creating this. Say, who is saying this? Is the body saying this or the soul is saying this? Neither the body is saying this nor the soul is saying it to us. It is not possible. It's not possible. This negative thought is very firmly fixed inside us, isn't it? And who is doing that? Body is not doing that. The soul is not doing that. The mind is doing that. So be watchful of the mind all the time. You have to be very watchful of the mind. And we should know when that negative vibrations are coming from the mind. At the very minute, you should be able to separate from the mind and stay separately. The mind, which is in between the soul and the body, is controlling us at that point. So, is that mind in the sushupti, in the deep sleep? It's not there. In the deep sleep, it's not there. So, and the mind is actually is also not a reality. It's not even a reality. But what is there to be achieved here, Krishna is saying there, that if this mind is skilled, if you don't allow the mind to influence you anymore, the soul is available like this. The soul is available like this because he is so close to us and he is there as a reality. The only thing that is keeping us away from that soul is all this chittavritti, activities of the thoughts that's coming through, continuously in the form of mind. Up to that point, if that Shraddha is there, Krishna says that if you don't need it, if that thought hasn't come in yet, then for many years you can continue the procrastination. Is it procrastination? Yeah. So giving different reasons, you will keep on wandering in this world, saying one thing or the other. We will keep on wandering in this world. So the example in the Shastram is that so many blind people together, they wanted to discuss about an elephant. So one person touched the tail, another person touched the leg, another person touched the trunk, another person touched the tusk. So each one of them, they're all blind people. So one was explaining about the elephant. The elephant is like this. It has got the form of the elephant. He's explaining the tail's form. And because that's the part he has touched. Another blind person who has touched the leg of the elephant, saying the elephant is like a pillar because he touched the leg of the elephant. A third person touched the trunk of the elephant, so he's saying that the form of the elephant is like this. So everyone, similarly, on the nature of the absolute truth also, we can keep on discussing various things. But at the same time, Krishna's opinion here is on this, that it is not this, it's not that. The only thing that is very clear, crystal clear to us, present in right in front of us, is the form of that consciousness. That is direct experience to us, isn't it? Spirit soul's presence inside the body. When he has got that consciousness, is the proof of Krishna's presence inside. When Krishna leaves the body, consciousness goes. So all the other things, what we talk about the truth, whichever way you present it, it's all like the blind man's explanation of the truth. But this one truth of the presence of consciousness, which is presence of Krishna's presence inside, is the ample proof, is the perfect example or proof for that. Now, therefore he says here, this is called dhira, isn't it? Tadha dehandra praptir dhirastatrana mukhyati. The dhira word Krishna has used, in Upanishads also the same word will come, dhira. It is that person who has understood this, what is dhiratvam. Dhiratvam means this intense search for that truth inside, in a person, inside. So, sometimes, as I mentioned so many times before, we'll hear all these things, and then when we leave the room, we say, oh, this is not practical. It's not possible. Finished. Everything gone. So, 2 hours wasted at the end. So, this shouldn't happen. We should work strongly on this. That somebody... often this happens. You will notice that. So, sometimes so much we talk about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, they hear all that, as soon as they leave the room, oh, is it possible in this life to do all these things? I've got so many other things to do, and how do you know this is all the truth? How do we know? If you keep asking like this, you can keep asking this whole lifetime. You won't get anywhere. So that's why this is called Shraddha. Shraddha is this. Remember, we define definition of Shraddha in Viveka Churamani is like this. What is definition of Shraddha? Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha. That's the definition. Shastram, don't doubt Shastram. Shastram, if you doubt, then you are lost. Krishna also said that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? A Shastram Vidhim Utsrajya Vartade Kamakaragad. And in another verse, Krishna says, one who have lost faith in Shastram, he has no hope. Because Krishna can't do anything more than that. He has told us the truth, and either we accept it or we don't take it. We can keep on questioning Bhagavad Gita, but won't get anywhere. Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya, instruction from the spiritual master. Satya Buddhyavadharana, that is the only truth, that conviction, strong conviction inside. Sa Shraddha, that is Shraddha. So, in the Bhagavadam, otherwise, that person, if you keep associating with, which person who keeps saying, that, oh, is it all possible, is it all practical, this is not for me, such people, if you associate with such people, what will happen is, we will become Puranjana. In the Bhagavadam, you know the story of Puranjana? Puranjana's story in the fourth canto is very famous, isn't it? Puranjana's story... it is an allegorical story, allegorical in the sense that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes there are allegorical statements, like Puranjana's story is one. It is not a real thing that has happened, but it's an allegorical thing, in the sense that the story of a person who traveled south of Himalayas. He got a body there, and Puranjana Vakyanam is 5-6 chapters in the Bhagavadam. It's a quite a deep understanding of the soul changing the body. Soul changing the body. And Puranjana was like that, how he changed the body several times, And eventually, due to Srinara Maharshi's and mercy, and he says that Puranjana got back to his own identity of the consciousness of the soul. So, like that, we will become like Puranjana. We'll have to keep changing the body. We have no other alternative. So, sometimes what happened was, a lot of people are studying Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? In this world, you'll be amazed at how many people are reading Bhagavad Gita. A lot of people read Bhagavad Gita with a proper desire also. Desire means with a proper intention to get to know the truth. They know that there is something in the Bhagavad Gita that is attracting them. So once it so happened that a person asked a question about Bhagavad Gita. The question was like this, that I'm studying Bhagavad Gita all the time, but nothing is happening to me. That was his statement. He asked this question to a sannyasi. He said to the sannyasi, I've been reading this Bhagavad Gita for so many years. Sometimes you will see people, they read Bhagavad Gita and they read it sometimes every day, or at least on a Gita Jayanti day they will read it. Isn't it? At least on a Gita Jayanti day they will read it. Now, just like they read on a Gita Jayanti day, in the same way, they will read every day in the same way. They'll just read the verses. But it's not going beyond than that. It's not going beyond than that. I'll tell you why it's not going beyond than that. So this person's question is a reflection of that truth. He's saying, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita every day, but nothing, no knowledge is developing in me. He says this to this sannyasi. So sannyasi asks this question, okay, you are reading Bhagavad Gita and what is that book telling you? He said, what is that book telling you? The book is telling you that you start looking at yourself, not at me. Bhagavad Gita actually is telling us, don't look at me, look at you. That's what the message in the Bhagavad Gita is, isn't it? But what are we doing? We are looking at Bhagavad Gita all the time. Saying that I take the Bhagavad Gita in the hand and every morning I'm reading Bhagavad Gita and I'm looking at Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is telling me, stop looking at me. Looking at me won't help, but look at you, yourself. Look inwards, in other words. That is Bhagavad Gita's message. The message from Bhagavad Gita is not to look at Bhagavad Gita, to look inwards. So he says, the sannyasi told him, when you say that to look inwards means what? Look inwards towards your own identity as the soul. In other words, spiritual thought should develop in a person. If it has not developed, it's all a waste of time. Again, I remember I mentioned this. Keep on doing whole life, but nothing is happening. Done enough in so many lifetimes, but nothing has happened. Why? That thing, what should happen, hasn't happened. As Krishna says here, that Bhagavad Gita is telling us to look towards our identity, Swarupam. That is what, why you keep on looking at me, Bhagavad Gita is asking us. You keep on looking at me, I am telling you to look at yourself. So, the purpose of all Salsangam, Sadhu Sangam, Bhagavad Sangam, everything is only this one thing, to shift our drishti or vision from outside towards the soul, And the mind which is wandering around all the time outside, if somehow or the other it start going inward looking towards the heart or towards the truth, and that is Krishna's Swarupam. Krishna's presence inside will be the heart inside, that is Krishna's Swarupam. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look in the 10th chapter, verse 20. You will see there, Krishna saying this. Verse 20 in the 10th chapter. What does it say? Aham Atmakuda Kesha Sarvabhudas Bhudashayastita Aham Adischa Madhyamcha Bhutanamandamevacha. Krishna is saying, I am the Self, O Gunakesha, seated in the hearts of all creatures. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. That's that. So, Ahamatma Gudakesha is a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Ahamatma Gudakesha. So when we say, let's understand this. When we say, this question is always there in the people's mind, isn't it? As me and Krishna one and the same? Or am I separate from Krishna? This question is always there, isn't it? It is from this that all different philosophies have also come about. Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtam, they all come from these things. So, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll see Aham Atma, Atma or the soul is one. But the individual soul and the super soul, that is also correct. In the state of bhakti, we are separate from Krishna, in the state of bhakti. In the state of knowledge, when realization happens, you could say that practically there is no difference between the individual soul and the super soul. These differences are important for us today. Why? Because we neither know individual soul nor we know the super soul. So we are very concerned about it. But when the realization happens, when you understand that spirit soul is something different than the body and bodily identity goes away from us, these questions should not matter to us very much. I mentioned, I think, this many times before, that Anjaneya Swami, Hanuman talks about this, isn't it? Hanuman says this in the Ramayanam. There is a verse from Hanuman. Hanuman's statement is that Deha Buddhyastu Dasoham. Remember? Atma Jiva Buddhyastu Damshaka. Atma Buddhyastu Tadevamme Idi Me Nishchidamati. This is Anjaneya Swami's statement. Anjaneya Swami is saying there, when I am thinking, in the Bhagavad Gita there is Dvaitam, there is Advaitam, there is Vishishtadvaitam. Everything is there. Now, in which platform one is seeing these things? When you are in the bodily concept of life, that means Dehabuddhi. Dehabuddhyastu Dasoham. I am Krishna's servant. That is clear. Absolutely clear. Dehabuddhyastu Dasoham. If you have started realizing that I am a jiva, jiva buddhyastu tudamshagam, that I am a part and parcel of you, tudamshagam. Atma buddhyastu tumevami, that atma buddhya, if I start thinking I am pure consciousness of the soul is one with Krishna, in that state. So it is from which state you are seeing, accordingly, your connection with Krishna also varies. Now, if you ask what is the real one, there is no real one. Real one is this from which position you are seeing it. That is Anjaneya Swami's statement, Hanuman's statement in the Ramayanam, that Deha Buddhyastu Dasoham. As long as I am thinking I am this body, the only connection I have with Krishna is I am Krishna's servant. Krishna is separate. I am Krishna's servant. Dasoham. Dasabuddhi. Then, in bhakti process, at any time, we don't become one with Krishna. In bhakti process. Always we are separate from Krishna. Why? Only then you can experience all the mellows. Shandam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuyam. All these things are only experienced for a living entity when he is separate from Krishna. But otherwise, for jnanis, they go the other route. Jnanis are always thinking about finding that truth and become one with that, merger of the with the truth. So all these differences are from which angle or from which position you are experiencing the truth, or you are approaching the truth. So that's why Aham Atma Gudakesha, if you read that verse, Krishna is saying Sarva Bhudashe Astida. Ahamalma Gudagesha. I am the soul in everybody. Krishna is saying here that Ahamalma Gudagesha Sarvabhuta Shayastida. That I am situated in everyone's heart and illuminating them. That if you have understood or if you have realized that aham there, aham in that words, you have understood the super soul. You have understood the super soul. And that is the only thing what we can say that in full guarantee that it exists. It exists. Realizing the super soul inside, that is the only guarantee we have got. All other explanations of the truth is not as good as realizing Antaryami inside. Because this is something already we have got it. Suppose somebody tells you that Krishna lives in Golokam, Krishna lives in Gokulam, or Krishna lives in Vaikuntham, or in Kailasam, let it be anywhere else. That's all fine. You can understand that. Understand means that you can accept it or you can reject it. Because I can't prove that to you today. Can I? You can't prove these things to anybody. You have to accept it purely on faith. But this one thing you cannot deny today. It's already there inside you. Because of that you are functioning in this world. So that's why it's more important to accept this truth. Like what Krishna says here, Aham Atma Gudagesha, Sarvabhudashayastida. That is much more convincing and much more acceptable to a mind which is looking for logic. Isn't it? On logical platform, this is much more acceptable. Isn't it? Much more, I would say, much more easy to accept. Whereas Golokam, Vaikuntham and all that, we don't know, we haven't been there. Shastram is telling us, sometimes a lot of doubts can come. What happens in Vaikuntham? People ask this question. What do we do there when we go there? What happens when we go to Golokam? And people say these kind of things, isn't it? These doubts will naturally be there. We will start imagining in our mind what Golokam is like. So somebody was saying the other day that these pastimes of Krishna is going on eternally. We say that, isn't it? Krishna's pastimes are going on. Does that mean continuously they are getting killed there in Golokam, all these demons? If you ask all that question, how do you answer that? It's very difficult, isn't it, to answer that question. That is that all these demons like Arishtasura, Bhagasura, Putana, they're all getting killed every minute in somewhere or the other. So these will spin on, you know, into another question. From another question, it will keep coming like this, many, many questions. And if anybody has to answer all these questions, it's not going to come to an end. It's clear, isn't it? It's very clear. But that's one thing. But this one thing, you cannot deny it. Can you? Ahamalpa Gudagesha Sarvab. Upanishads won't talk about Golokam, Vaikuntham and all that because of this reason. Upanishads will only tell you, look inwards and see what you are. What's your connection with Krishna? Realize that first. After that, you can think about all other realizations. Yeah. So that's why Ahamalpa Gudagesha Sarvabhudashayastida. If that realization has come, you have gone a long way in the spiritual journey. That means attention from the body has gone and attention in the soul has become firm and Shraddha in the soul has become. And with this background, if you look at Krishna's deity, you will also feel happier. Whereas on the way, when we dress deities, Krishna looks very attractive when we dressed and all that. But the understanding is not there that He is the one who is present in everyone as the Antaryami, as the soul inside. So the only thing that is very convincing to us today is Krishna's presence inside the heart. Krishna's presence inside the heart. That is the deposit that is there, our capital in other words. That's our real capital. Not all the other knowledge what we have got from the For example, okay, the realizations of Goloka Vrindavanam, there is in the Brihad Bhagavadamritam the statement of Gopakumara going to the different places, Golokam, Vaikuntham, and heavenly planets, meeting different persons. All these things are there. When you read all that things, automatically, you may accept it, you may not accept it. To what extent will you accept it? Because you have no experience of any of those things. And everything what you have accepted through intelligence, what you have accepted through the mind, all these things you will lose one day. You will lose one day. Everything will be forgotten. This has happened to many, many big people. Once, Prabhupada also mentioned this once, that there was one president, India's president, Dr. Radhakrishnan. Dr. Radhakrishnan was very well known. Well known in the sense that he was a very intelligent person, in the sense, philosophically very advanced, and very successful in presenting Vedic philosophy very convincingly to the scholars in the world. And he has written many books also. And only due to his intelligence, and also due to his knowledge, he was a professor also for a long period of time in the university in Calcutta. And Prabhupada also went and met Dr. Radhakrishnan, and Prabhupada used to have Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita in the beginning. Although Prabhupada didn't agree with many things what Radhakrishnan has commented on the Bhagavad Gita, he still took it as a guide in his early lectures. You will see that in the early Bhagavad Gita lectures, if you look, you will see Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita is quoted there. So Dr. Radhakrishnan, eventually before death, he lost his memory completely, just like what happens to many people, isn't it? He lost his memory. He couldn't even know what his name was. He has forgotten his own name. He has forgotten. So such an intelligent person who has studied all the Shastram, all the Vedic literature, and assimilated and written books about it, and so many things he has done, but it has happened to him that he could not even remember his name before death. He has not left the body even before that. So you can't even trust your memory. You can't even... What use is the intelligence then? Isn't it? Intelligence, we put a lot of faith in our intelligence. What Bhagavad Gita is telling us is that don't trust this intelligence. That will also go one day. So therefore, anything that we have accepted through intelligence also cannot be trusted. The only thing you can accept is this, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna is talking from the purely from the platform of the soul. And that is what we can accept as it is. Why? Because of that presence inside, we experience this world, isn't it? The consciousness is there, the senses are functioning, the mind is working, the intelligence is working. Only Asya Bhasa Sarva Bhasa Vidam Vibhadi, the statement in the Kathopanishad. If you look that, that verse is very, very well known. Anyone who reads Upanishads will know this verse. This is because of its the way it points out the truth to us. Why is it so important? Because it is in that verse, he says, Na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra taragam neva vidyudo bhadi kudhonyam agni tameva bhasvat tamubhadi sarvam yasya bhasa sarvam idham vibhadi. This is that verse, Kathopanishad it is. Na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra taragam. Na tatra suryo. Surya is sun. Why is the sun shining? Because of Krishna's presence there. Therefore, sun is shining. Sun is not independent, in other words. Sun is shining, and that light is coming out from the sun, and we are experiencing through our eyes,
and the world is present in front of us, all because of the sun, isn't it? See, the sun withdraws. This world doesn't exist anymore for us, isn't it? So the world existing because of the presence of the sun. Na tatra suryo, and that Surya, he cannot provide this light if he is not there behind it. Who? Krishna. Bhadi na chandra taragam, nor the moon. Moon is shining because of him. Even the stars are shining because of him. Neva vidyudo bhadi kudoyam agni. So, nor the stars, nor the flashes of lightning born of the clouds. Vidyudo means the lightning that is happening. Whenever all these wonders in the world, like the sun, the moon, the stars, and the lightning, when all these things happening, Upanishad is telling us, remember that, who is behind it. Neda vidyudo bhanti kudoyam agni. When agni, fire is burning, in all the time, behind that is because of Krishna, the fire is burning. Tameva bha tameva bha anubhadi sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. In other words, in every living entity, he is functioning because he is there behind him. Tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. Tameva bha anubhadi sarvam. Everything in this world, the trees, the plants, the animals, the birds, the bees, different species, and this whole creation is working, and it is continuously in going through different changes, and all the human society, living entities, they are also carrying on in their activities. Why? Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. Upanishad sages have recognized this from the very beginning. There is everything is working, is reflecting from that light. From that light that is coming from Krishna. So, this is what the Kathopanishad is saying. That it is that light which is illuminating everything. That is the Upanishad's language. Rasyabhasa saromidam vibhadi. Everything is shining. For example, each of us, we are doing different things in this world, isn't it? We go on with our business throughout the day. Similarly, everyone in this world. Why is that happening? Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. He is behind it. Krishna is behind it. And experiencing that Krishna's presence in everyone is what happens in Salsangam. Salsangam, this is the only topic to be discussed. Nothing else. So, after searching through all other different routes, we have to come to this point again at the end. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. So, you keep on rotating, discussing this Bhagavadam, discussing this Upanishads, that Upanishads, all Vedic literature, and ultimately, where do we have to get to? This point, that Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. It is only due to Krishna's presence that all these things we are happening in this world. Our inquiry for the truth, our spiritual realization, all this is happening because of the presence of Krishna behind it. So, the important thing. Why important? Because why am I saying all these things, you may wonder? What is it got to do with these verses? We'll see now why it is spoken like that. Arjuna's misunderstanding, I have mentioned before, didn't I? What was that misunderstanding? Arjuna heard from Krishna, and Arjuna thought that what you have told me is about knowledge first. Then you spoke about karma, action, isn't it? And you have told me, Arjuna says to Krishna, tell me what I should do. Whether I should go after knowledge or should I go after karma? This was the question. So, this Arjuna's question, if knowledge is superior, jnanam is superior, why you are asking me to do this karma? This was a question from Arjuna, isn't it? Krishna has not answered that question. Have you noticed? So far, Krishna has not answered that question. And Krishna is saying, he's stressing on the knowledge still. Krishna is still stressing on the knowledge. because the center where knowledge is developing and the center where action is happening, they are independent. They are independent. If only if you understand this, then you can understand what we are going to say now, from now on, in the Bhagavad Gita. These are things, very subtle things in the Bhagavad Gita, which you may not notice when you... Bhagavad Gita is a very psychological text as well. It is not purely a shastram in that sense. That where the knowledge is developing inside a person and where the action is taking a person, they are at two different centers. In two different centers it's happening. I don't know whether you understood what I'm saying. The place where the knowledge is developing in a person, or the center where the knowledge is developing, and the center where action is happening, they are two different locations. Only then you will understand when Krishna is saying that situated in the knowledge, engage in action. Situated in the knowledge, engage in action. Whenever we are talking about the knowledge, the center is the soul. Whenever we are talking about the action, the center is the mind and the body. They are in two different planes, it's happening. So what Krishna is saying here, if this is to be very clear inside, otherwise we'll mix up both. And we'll bring everything into together, the knowledge and the action. Only then you can understand what Krishna is saying. Being situated in this knowledge, he says to Arjuna, you execute your action. Situated in this knowledge, you should do your duty. That's what duty means, the activities with the body. You should execute. If not, we will always be in confusion all the time. So, we have to be clear. The knowledge should get its clarity inside, and that is completely independent. Knowledge of the soul and matters related to the soul, they are completely independent, unconditional, and that cannot be stopped by anything. That cannot be stopped by anything. In other words, self-realization, knowledge of the self, is totally independent. It is not connected with the body, mind, or anything like that. What we are doing is, we mix these two things together and then ask this question, you told me like this and what should I do now? What you have told me before has something to do with the soul, nothing to do with the body. What you are doing now is something to do with the body and the mind. Body and the mind. So here, so unconditional, and that knowledge what will develop centered around the soul, nothing can stop it. In the Bhagavadam, if you take carefully and look at it, you will see this. In the first canto, in the second chapter, there is a statement from Sudha Goswami to Shaunaka Rishi. What does he say? Ahaituki apratihata yenalma samprasidati. He says there, Savai pumsam parodharmam yadho bhakti adhokshaje. Ahaituki apratihata yenalma samprasidati. Many, many devotees get stuck on that verse. Have you noticed that? If you have spoken to devotees in the early days in the Bhagavadam, Prabhupada wrote a commentary on this verse. What was the commentary? Commentary was like this. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness cannot be checked by anything. Nobody can stop it. Your advancement in Krishna consciousness. People are complaining, oh, I have got this burden in my life. I got my family. I got my job. The usual excuses everyone makes in this world, isn't it? So therefore, I don't have the time to practice Krishna consciousness. This is the excuse throughout this world, from LA to Sydney. This excuse you will get everywhere. And why is that excuse? Because this principle they have not understood. That Savai Pumsam, Bhagavadam speaks in the language of bhakti. Bhagavad Gita speaks in the language of knowledge. That's the only difference. There is no difference otherwise. If you start differentiating bhakti, jnanam, they are all separate, then you will get confused. They are not separate. The message is the same. In the bhakti way, you speak one way. In the jnanam way, you speak another way. Just like in the Bhagavadam, if you look, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan, iti shabdade. Shabdade means it's spoken. It's spoken in three different ways by the transcendentalists. They spoke in three different languages. What's that? Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. The truth is one. It says there. Isn't it? If you look at that verse, what does it say? Vadandida tattvavidam tattva yajnanam advayam. Advayam means one without a second. There's only one truth. And that one truth is realized Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan. In three different states, in three different levels, you can say, or three different ways, you can say. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan, iti shabdade. Similarly, in the bhakti way, when it's spoken, it says in the Bhagavadam, because Bhagavadam is mainly related to bhakti, isn't it? So there it says, Savai pumsam paro dharmam yadho bhakti adhokshaje. Adhokshaje means one who is beyond the mind and senses. So, paro dharmam, the supreme occupation of the individual, living soul, of the soul, is bhakti towards Krishna. Adhokshaja is Krishna. And when they talk about adhokshaja, it's the soul inside referring to. Ahaituki, and you don't, it is not caused by anything else. Apradihata, it cannot be checked by anything. Yenalpa samprasidadi. When you are in that platform, you are satisfied. Because that's the only platform where there is shanti inside a person. So same thing here, Krishna is also saying here that unconditionally it is the knowledge. Nobody can stop you from realizing the truth because it is independent of everything else in this world. The company management can stop your increment because your performance is not good enough, they can say to you. The government can tax you, whatever they want. But neither the government, nor the company management, nor the society, nor the family can stop you from realizing the truth inside. They cannot come on your way. This is completely independent. That is a beauty. That knowledge and self-realization is a process where nothing else can come. In fact, if you say to anybody that, oh, I've got this family problem, I've got all the other problems in life, my health is no good, this, that and the other, which millions of excuses what we all say. It's only one thing you have to remember, it's only you are displaying your weakness. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. Because Shastram is saying that to get that knowledge realization inside, ahaituki apratihada yenalma samprasidadi. So Krishna said here that if the knowledge is clear, is fully realized, whatever you do with this body, those actions will have no effect on you. Karma Yoga is coming now. Karma Yoga is coming out. Krishna is bringing Arjuna to that point. If the knowledge of the soul is perfect inside, whatever activities you are performing with this body will have no effect on you, if the realization is proper. So, Krishna was saying to Arjuna that fight the war. Whom was he talking to? Saying to Arjuna's body. Yeah? To Arjuna's body, Krishna is saying, fight the war. And Krishna is saying here, become a sthitapratnya. Who is he talking to? To Krishna's soul. Arjuna's soul. So, two different entities, completely separate. Mistake Arjuna was doing that. Mixing sthitapratnyatvam with the body. Yeah? Mixing sthitapratnyatvam with the body. That was Arjuna's mistake. Is that clear? What we are talking about? That we also make the same mistake, isn't it? When we read Bhagavad Gita, what do? We take Bhagavad Gita and say, he's saying sthitapratnyatvam. This body will never become sthitapratnyatvam. We think like, because we are in the bodily concept of life. And we are thinking the body will become sthitapratnyatvam. Body will never become sthitapratnyatvam. Body can never get it. Only the soul can get the Siddha Prajnatvam. Isn't it? Consciousness only can become Siddha Prajnatvam. That is the biggest mistake, Arjuna's mistake. And that's the same mistake we all go through. While studying Bhagavad Gita, these are the subtle things in the Bhagavad Gita. That means, when Krishna is asking us to do karmam in this world, he is expecting the body to do the karmam. So soul has nothing to do with it. To the soul, Krishna is saying the transcendental knowledge in the second chapter what Krishna has spoken. Situated in that knowledge, whatever action you do with this body will have no karmic reaction, and that is karma yoga. See the difference, karma yoga. Karma yoga is a very subtle science. And karma yoga is the same thing which comes as Bhagavata Dharmam in the Ekadasha Skandam. It's not different. Only thing is, you are adding to karma yoga bhakti and it becomes Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam, remember? You look at this verse in Bhagavata Dharmam. In the Bhagavatam, Kayena Vaj, everybody knows this verse, isn't it? If you go to all our Indian temples, they'll all be singing this verse. Every after every arati, whether you go to Sanatan Mandir, whether you go to other temples, any temple you go, they'll be singing this. Kayena Vaja Manasendriyerva Buddhyalpanava Prakrdeswabhaval Karodi Adyal Sakalam Bharasmai Narayanaye Di Samarpayami. This is a verse from the Bhagavatam. And after singing that Jai Jagadisha Hare, they'll sing this verse also. But they don't. Many of the people, I'm sure some people will be thinking, but many people, they just sing it as a prayer. They sing. It's not good enough if you just sing it as a prayer. That's not good enough. That means you are saying to Krishna, whatever I am doing with my mind, body, senses, everything, let that be as an offering to you. That's what it means, isn't it? Karodi adyal sakalam parasmai narayanayadi samarpayami. We sing that verse. That's okay. That's good to sing that. It is a Bhagavatam verse at least. But without understanding the subtlety of that verse, the subtlety is this. Krishna has told Arjuna to come to turn to take to action. Why did he say that? Because Krishna knows that he cannot be free from karma. Karma vasana has not gone away from Arjuna. So in order to finish up that, to burn that karma vasana, he has to engage in karma. He has no choice. But while executing karma, if with this knowledge of the soul, if we execute that, karma and karmic reaction will not touch him, will not touch Arjuna. So therefore, this is the guard while executing the karma in this world. Only in that way, if you execute karma, it becomes karma yoga. It becomes karma yoga. Because when we execute karma in that way, what will happen is, when you know body is doing the work and soul is independent, when it is completely realized inside, you will never desire for the results. One thing. You will also won't take the ownership or doership will go. Aham karta, aham bhokta. These two things won't affect you. These things won't happen. Why? Because the transcendental knowledge is strong inside. So if that knowledge is strong inside, aham karta, aham bhokta will go. So that is the purpose of karma yoga. Now, anyone who comes to spiritual life first time, this is the first stepping stone, this karma yoga. Without karma yoga, even our Hare Krishna movement also is based on this principle only. Prabhupada's books, if you read, you will see this, that karma yoga is a beginning. That means that with the knowledge inside, you should work in this world. Which means what? Which means that you can't take from, it cannot be based on payments, it cannot be based on any kind of returns. If it is based on that, the whole spirit has gone from there. It's not karma yoga anymore. Yeah, you can see Krishna has kept that chapter in the very beginning itself of the Bhagavad Gita. So that is why if this message don't go into the people's heart properly, what will happen? Then they will start saying that, oh, what's wrong if we also they also have to live in this world and all of that. We have no problem, everybody has to live in this world, there's no doubt about that. But we should not burn Krishna in our material life. We should burn our material life in Krishna. Remember, I mentioned this so many times before. Krishna consciousness is the solution to all the problems. We have so many material problems in this world. And our material consciousness should not be allowed to influence our Krishna consciousness. Whatever our material desires, material understanding, all this should be burned in Krishna consciousness. It should not come and haunt us again. But instead, what we are doing now is that we are bringing Krishna and burning in our material life. And that is wrong. That's wrong. That is, that means we have lost the track. We have lost the track. It won't bring any result. Because Shastram, if you don't follow it rigidly, the sages did not talk all these things just to spend some time with us, you know, talking to them. There is a systematic way of approaching spiritual life. And before we talk about bhakti, jnanam and all that, karma has to be pure. If karma is not purified, jnanam and bhakti will never happen. This is the very fundamental understanding in spiritual life. Jnanam bhakti cannot develop if karma is not pure. So therefore, generally what's done is, anyone who comes to spiritual life first, he has to do free service. It's a part of that. Freely you have to do it, without expecting anything. It should be completely free. And anyone who is expecting some results from the karmam, he has not even understood the first, second chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So that means you will get stuck there if you don't accept that principle. It's an important thing. That's why Prabhupada never... This principle is sound. It is not Prabhupada's manufactured. It is Krishna's instruction. Who can change it? Nobody has. All acharyas have complied with it throughout history. And sometimes you can notice this also. Devotees debating about this. What is the right thing. There's no question of debating in these things. It's not a subject for debate. It's not something you can decide based on debate. We have to decide this based on what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, if you do this, spiritual knowledge inside, action with the body. Body has got karma vasana inside the mind. Karma vasana has to finish. In order that karma vasana has to go, the karma has to be performed with the body. But if it is executed without any expectation in return, then you will get purified from that karma. Otherwise, you won't get purified. On the other hand, what will happen? You will get more bound in the karma. In the process of karma, you will get more bound by that. So, it's a dangerous thing also. Not only that you won't make spiritual progress, on the other hand, you are inviting more and more material bodies afterwards. The result of that is that. That is why spiritual life, when we come, the fundamental principles has to be taken very seriously. And here, Krishna is saying here that to Arjuna's body, he is not telling Arjuna's body to become Sthita Prajnato. Brahmi Sthiti and all, he is talking towards the soul. So, towards the Andaryami inside Krishna, Arjuna's Andaryami. Arjuna was making the mistake that Andaryami or super soul inside, which Krishna has spoken here, Aham Atma Gudayesha Sarabhudashya Sthita. He has mixed up that thing with the body, isn't it? Mixing up that with the body, and he is asking this question, should I fight the war or should I stay as a Sthita Prajna? Arjuna is asking that question to Krishna, isn't it? Arjuna's question was, I am confused. I am confused why? Because he is asking, should I stay as a Sthita Prajnatvam? Should I develop this Sthita Prajna state, what you mentioned in the second chapter, or should I fight the war? This was Arjuna's question to Krishna, wasn't it? So Krishna is saying that the Sthita Prajnatvam and all has nothing to do with the body. It has nothing to do with the body. It is all related to the soul inside. And therefore, One who is in this sthitaprajna state, this is interesting. One who is in the sthitaprajna state, he is not going to fight a war. He's not going to fight a war. On the other hand, one who is going to fight the war, for him, for his body, sthitaprajnatam won't happen either. Sthitaprajnatam won't happen either. Now, Bhishma, he was a sthitaprajnatam, was there in him. So you can see, when the war was going on, he was still very conscious that the body is doing it, not him. It was so clear, that is the reason why he was able to say that Shikhandi will kill me. He said this to Draupadi in the war, isn't it? Before the war, Draupadi understood that Bhishma is on the other side. And Bhishma is a very difficult person to fight with. Everybody knew that. He was such a powerful personality, Bhishma was. And they were all frightened of him, Bhishma. Frightened in the sense that never in the history there was such a person like Bhishma, who could fight even at that age. He was a great-grandfather, but Arjuna, Karna, and all the other personalities were really frightened to fight with him, and there was no question of killing Bhishma. It was difficult. So it was then that Draupadi goes to see Bhishma, isn't it? While going, Krishna follows her. Krishna follows Draupadi. And Draupadi goes inside and pays her obeisances. Without knowing who it was, Bhishma put her hand on her head and blessed her. And that blessing turned out to be a great help later. That in that war, then Shikhandi's story, as you know, in Mahabharata and all that. So how come Bhishma could have avoided all that, giving that information? But instead he was willing to face death, because he knows that the death is for the body. So one who is in the sthitaprajna state, Krishna exactly did the same thing, isn't it? Krishna is sending all his army to fight with Duryodhana, and he is fighting the war from this side, on the opposite side. The army is fighting from the other side. How does it all fit it together? It's very difficult, isn't it? But if you understand these things in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see it makes sense, because in the sthitaprajna state, wars and things like that have no impact on you. That's all for the body, isn't it? That's all for the sthitaprajna sega bhasha samadhistasya keshava sthidati kim prabhasheda. What is that? Prabhashe sthidadikim sthidaprajna sega bhasha samadhistasya keshava sthidadikim prabhasheda kumasidam vrajedakim. That's it. Sthidadikim prabhasheda kumasidam vrajedakim. So, in that question you can see Arjuna has mixed up both, isn't it? He's talking about sthidaprajnatvam. Then he's talking about how he will walk, how he will speak, how he will eat, how he will sleep. Same mistake. Sthitaprajnatvam is not for the body. It's for the soul, consciousness. Walking, eating, sleeping, and is all for the body. You see the point? So that is that mistake Arjuna has made in that question. Sthitaprajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava siddhadhi kim prabhasheda kimasita vrajeta kim. All the third, fourth lines is all related to body. Walking, sitting, speaking, all this is related to body, isn't it? Whereas the first word, sthitaprajnatvam, is for the soul and the consciousness. Soul means consciousness. So that's a very, very important point. And so when we read Bhagavad Gita, we should know these subtle differences. This is not written in the Bhagavad Gita. That's the problem. So this is where we need the help from the Acharyas. Acharyas knows these things, because they are, it's working very deeper level, much deeper level than what you do. So, as I mentioned before, one who is in a sthitaprajna state, he won't be fighting the war, his body will be fighting the war, if he fights the war. And one who is going to fight the war with the body and thinking that I am this body, he will never have sthitaprajnatvam either. Yeah. The body which is fighting the war is nothing but a machine. Is nothing but a machine. How can it become Sthira Prajnatvam? Sthira Prajnatvam will never come to that. Similarly, this vastu, have you noticed, the soul or Krishna, the word used in Shastra many places is vastu. Vastu, you'll see there. In the Bhagavatam also, when it begins, dharma projita kaidavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. You remember that verse? Vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. Vastu. Why is it called vastu? Vastu is nothing but the soul is talking about. Vastu shivadam. So this vastu is what is Krishna here. Krishna is vastu. You can call by name. In many occasions they'll refer it as vastu. Why vastu? Because the form is difficult to explain. It is consciousness, isn't it? And Krishna is pressed. Devotees call it as Krishna. Jnanis will call it as Atma. But it is a vastu. That thing, what is inside, it's called vastu. Why is it called vastu? What is vastavam is vastu. Vastavam means what is real. That is the only thing that is real in this whole creation. This vastu, that is the soul. So therefore it is called vastu. So Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he wrote to Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second verse in the Bhagavatam itself, he said, Vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. That vastu you will know, tapatrayon mulanam. If you have known that vastu, you are released from the tapatrayam. What is tapatrayam? Adhyatmikam, adhibhaudiyam, adhidevikam. All these different distresses in this world will go. Once you have known that vastu. So self-realization again spoken in the Bhagavatam in a different way. But it is clear what he is talking about. The Vyasa is saying is what Krishna is saying here. Isn't it? So vastu can, that vastu is the sthidapratnyam. Sthidapratnyam is for the vastu. It cannot fight the war. Because it's the soul. Soul cannot fight the war. So and there is no war there. In the soul. In the soul there is no such thing called war. War is all for the body. Isn't it? War is all for the body. These two things. Vastu which is experiences the prajnatvam. Body that is experiencing the activity or the fight or these things. Only if this thing is very, you should keep this as the very basis inside. Only then the only then all what Krishna is going to talk about from now on will be clear. Will be clear. Otherwise, you know what will happen? We'll keep on saying what Arjuna is saying here. What is Arjuna saying? Vyamishrayaneva vakena. He says there in the second, third chapter. In the second verse he says there. Vyamishrayaneva vakena. Shrayam apnuyad. He says there, isn't it? Tadegam vada nischitya. Yena shrayoham apnuyat. We'll be keep on saying yena shrayoham apnuyat. So vyamishrena vakena buddhim mohayasiva me tadegam vadanischitya yena shrayoham apnuyat. We will also say the same thing. We'll keep on saying the same thing. So when we talked about sthira prajnatvam and this war with the mind, one thing we have to know here, sthira prajnatvam is for the chaitanyam inside, for the soul, which is living. Yuddham and activity and karmam is for the body, which is jadam. You know the difference between jadam and chaitanyam, isn't it? Jadam means something that has no life in it. On its own, it cannot work. Chaitanya means, which is always a living force. There's always life in there. So that difference between jadam and chaitanyam is the difference between sthira prajnatvam and the karma between the two. Shariram or material body is jadam. And or shariram as it is called. And the soul inside is shariri. It's called shariri. Shariram is the body and shariram is the soul. This is called kshetram. Body is called kshetram. and the soul inside is called Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna, remember? In the Bhagavad Gita, later on you will see, Kshetrajnam chapi mam viddhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. There's a statement in the, I think it is in the 13th chapter. If you look, you will see there that that verse is also pointing out the same thing. Kshetrajnam chapi mam viddhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. In the, I think it is the second verse, is it? 13.3. Kshetrajnam chapi mam viddhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yatal jnanam matam mama. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So kshetram kshetrajnyan. Kshetrajnya and kshetram. Kshetram is the body, kshetrajnya is the soul. Isn't it? Kshetrajnya is the soul. And deham is the body. Dehi is the soul. And similarly, material body is jadam, shariram. And the soul inside is shariri. It's called shariri. And andaryami, inside, is the shariri. Andaryami is the shariri. So, if all this is clear, and our attention has turned towards the dehi, or soul, if it has turned in that direction, then whatever actions is performed by deham, it will carry on without any interruption. In other words, while executing karmam in this world, this basic understanding must be there. And Krishna calls then that as karma yoga. That is what is called as karma yoga. So now you can see what is karma yoga means. Karma yoga means that the understanding that we are the soul and we have nothing to do with the body. Attention has moved away from the body, mind, everything towards the soul and to the consciousness and the presence of Krishna inside in that way. So identification with that state is Krishna mentioned about Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. What is the symptom of that person? Krishna also answered that, isn't it? What is that? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan altmanyeva altmanatushta. So one who is in altmanyeva altmanatushta, one who is situated in the soul, totally satisfied as the spiritual entity, whatever activities he does in this world will have no problems. It won't create any problem in this world. So, and that is the only karmam what Krishna accepts. That's the only karmam what Krishna accepts. In other words, all the karmam what we are doing today is not acceptable. Strictly speaking, from the Bhagavad Gita point of view, all other karmam which we try to justify under different titles, isn't it? We say, I have to maintain my body. If I don't get the money, so I'll do this action, I'll do this work, I'll do that work. Various kinds of things we do. But the one who has taken the goal of self-realization and one who is moving on the spiritual path, he has to accept this point what Krishna has made here. That is, what Krishna is saying here is that the action must be karma yogam. If it is not karma yogam, he is not progressing in the life, in spiritual life. If it's not karma yogam, he is not progressing in spiritual life. When this karma yogam, what does karma yogam does? What is the purpose of this karma yogam? Purpose of karma yogam is this. You are situated on the spiritual position, in full spiritual knowledge, and you are executing all your actions with your body and the mind. In that process, all the karma vasanas get burned up. It will not create any more new vasanas. Why? Because already the knowledge is realized inside. One. Number two, this karma what you are executing here with the body and the mind is not binding you anymore. It's not binding you anymore. So, you can carry on doing karma as long as you want with this realization inside. Then it won't matter at all. It doesn't matter. So, this karma executed properly for a long period of time in this consciousness of the self-realized state, what will happen is that one day all karma vasanas will get burned. or Kamasas will get good. That stage, Krishna says, that the knowledge inside will develop into bhakti. Brahma Buddha Prasannatma na shojadi na kankshadi sama sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labhade param. That is that superior bhakti Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. This bhakti, what we are presenting in this world, in our style, is what Bhagavadam calls it as cheating religion. Bhagavadam is very strong about that. Dharma projida kaidavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam, isn't it? So, dharma projida kaidavam, kaidava bhakti, kaidava means cheating. Dharma projida kaidavotram means that religion, what this is called religion now. This is religion. That means cheating religion. What is that? Bhagavadam is saying that is not discussed in this book, in the Srimad Bhagavadam. From the beginning itself, Vedavyas is telling us that is not the kind of religion what you are practicing. I'm going to discuss in the Bhagavadam. He keeps himself away from that by saying that. Dharma projida kaidavam atra paramo nirmatsaranam sadam. That is a very important verse. Bhagavadam is saying, this is not meant for those people who are always competing each other in this world. Nirmatsarana. Nirmatsarana means one who has no matsarya buddhi. Matsarya buddhi is this, that while executing in karmam, I fix a target, I have to be there tomorrow. Day after tomorrow I should be there. I should do better than him. And this kind of things. This is normal in the material world, isn't it? In working life, you know very well what it's like. Any office you walk in, they're constantly competing each other. And in a very subtle level or in a gross level, sometimes it turns out. And it's happening not only in one office, between one industrialist to another industrialist, one businessman to another businessman, between politicians, between different parties, political parties. All what's happening is this malsarium, isn't it? They have to always prove that they are better than the other, isn't it? For them, Srimad Bhagavatam is not accessible. It's not possible to get to Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why in the Vedavyas Maharshi put all these conditions in the beginning. He says, before you read Bhagavatam, be careful about all these things, he says. Dharmam projita kaitavam atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. And those people who have come out of that, for them, sadam vedyam, it's always available, vastavam, it's absolute, the truth, atra vastu shivadam. And it's the most auspicious thing, the soul is present for him, in front of him. So, what does this word karma means? Karma means only one thing, our own life, that is karma. Karma is nothing but a life. Karma, sometimes people think, suppose I do something with the hand, lifting this, it's a karma. No. Karma is something which is constantly going on. Not only the thing what we do with our body, even every pulse inside the body is also karma. The body is pulsating inside, isn't it? Spandanam it's called. That is also a karma. In other words, The whole purpose of life itself is, the material body itself is, to execute karma. It is meant for that action. Continuously it is happening, isn't it? So, now, even in the science they agree with these things. That if you look at this microphone, it's not moving. It is saying they're stationary. But scientists are telling us now, there is protons and electrons and neutrons and all inside, they are all moving inside. Movement is going on inside there. So, another words in the Shastra means, karma means chalanam. Chalanam means movement is happening. So, they say like that. In the mic also it's happening. So, therefore, wherever you look in this world, you will see this movement happening. Movement of everything, something or the other. There is nothing in this world which is staying as it is. Everything is going through changes, isn't it? The trees are growing, which means movement is happening. The animals are getting old. The birds are flying. Birds are also getting old. You cannot say one thing in this world which is staying without going through change. Or in other words, this transformation that is happening to animate objects, inanimate objects, they are all going through karma. In other words, karma is happening in all these places. There is no object in this world which is not going through karma. In other words, because it is like that, no one in this world can say that I'm not doing any karma. So, sometimes we can say that there's only one time in our life when we don't do anything, only one state, while sleeping. You can say that I'm not doing anything, because at that time your mind is not engaged in, say, in deep sleep state. You can probably say you are not doing any karma. But even sleeping is a karma. Even sleeping itself is a karma. Because why is it as a karma? Any karma has a beginning and an end. So sleep also has a beginning and an end. So that's also a karma. And suppose in deep sleep you have gone into, and suppose you have withdrawn your mind, you are not doing anything. Still blood circulation is going on, breathing is going on, food is getting digested, all the five different kinds of air is functioning inside. So karma is still continuing inside. Sometimes we say here that what does it show? That we go to sleep, we wake up. Suppose somebody wake you up in the middle, you will say, I haven't had enough sleep, isn't it? I haven't had enough sleep. Or you'll say, I lost my sleep. You have woken me up, I lost my sleep. So when you start yawning, for example, what does that mean? Yawning means, while you are yawning, the body is inviting you to sleep, isn't it? It's an invitation to sleep, basically. The yawning is nothing but an invitation to sleep. And so, it's always happening, even during the sleep, karma is happening. Karma means this movement. Movement is happening all the time. So long as you have a material body, karma is there. Therefore, material body has got another name, is karma. Another name for this body is karma. So Krishna is saying that there are two types of karma. One karma which is happening with your knowledge, and there is another karma which is happening without your knowledge. For example, blood circulation inside the body, breathing, digesting the food, all these things is not happening without your knowledge inside, isn't it? So that kind of karma is going on without your knowledge even. When I say without your knowledge means, what it means is this, that you don't have any control over it, isn't it? You don't even know what is going on inside. It goes in, it comes out. That's all we know about it. But beyond that, we don't know anything what goes on. Okay, scientists will say this is this, this, this. Doctors will say they have got this intestines, and they can explain to you all these things. But who is doing these things? Who is behind it? Who is continuing doing this show every day after day after day? And that's the question. That so, one is that what's happening without our knowledge, and like the heartbeat, we have no knowledge of that. It's beating somehow. It's going on. Secondly, all these things are happening inside the body. Secondly, activities which we are doing with our full knowledge. In other words, that is where false ego comes in. So, when we do the activities with the body, who comes in? He steps in. Who? The false ego. False ego. So, out of these two different types of karma, one that is happening inside the body and the one which is carried out by the body, it is the one that is carried out by the body that is causing more problems. So, in the first one, it doesn't happen. Then a false ego doesn't come. It doesn't create any bondage. Isn't it? It doesn't create any bondage. From this you can understand, if a karma happens without your presence of the false ego, it will not bind you. Because my heart is beating, I'm not getting bound by that, isn't it? It's not a bondage, because there is no karma vasana created from that. If the blood is circulating, I am not bound by that. Why? It doesn't create any karma vasana. But if I do any other activities in this world with my mind behind it and with the body, that will definitely create some vasana inside. So that's why it said here, you can see, only when you do karma with your knowledge, it creates problems. It creates problems. Every time when you are executing a karma, without your knowledge, it comes in that I am the doer. I am the doer comes in. And I am the enjoyer. It will come along with that, automatically, without anybody telling you it happens. And not only that, the next extension of that is that the results I must have of my karma. So you can see, first of all, this word called karma, we should understand clearly. Otherwise, karma yoga will be little bit difficult. Karma yoga becomes clear only when we remember the four sutra we discussed in the second chapter. Then Krishna says that karma, you have every right to do karma ni va adhikaraste. You have the right to do the karma. But this is why Krishna said, Ma bhaleshu kadachana. You have no right for expectation of results. Ma karma bhalahe durbho. That you also cannot expect that, think that you are the cause of your action. Isn't it? Ma de sangostu agarmani. Nor you can stay away from karma. All these things is karma sutram. Four sutras in the karma yoga. So, we are getting into this Karma Yoga chapter. It's about 44-45 verses in there. And it is just a basic introduction to karma, to understand what karma means. And karma, this chapter, as we go further, you will see that the spiritual realization and spiritual growth depends to a large degree in burning this karma, coming out of this karma aspect. Because karma is what is binding us to this world. We have come with karma vasana. That vasanas are very strong inside. That's why we are engaging in karma, because of karma vasanas inside. And it is something that is causing bondage to us to this world, isn't it? That is how it is binds us to this world. So, here, this is something unavoidable. What is that? I am the doer and I want the results. This is, once you got involved in karma, these two things will be there along with that. And therefore, Krishna says here that if you execute a karma in that way, it is an extension of the karma. If you execute karma with these two things, that I am the doer and I need the results, your karma is not over. Karma, why? Because you are done with these two things, this karma has sown another seed inside and that will take the next karma. And that will show another seed inside, it will take the next karma. So karma does not finish as far as Krishna is concerned. As long as you have this identity of I am the doer and I know the results, kartratvam and bhoktratvam, if these two things are there, your karma is never finished. That's the point Krishna is making here. And Krishna uses a word in the Bhagavad Gita. If you have read many times, you will notice this word. So many places it will happen. Krishna karma. Krishna says Krishna karma. Sayukta Krishna karma krit. There is a word somewhere, you will notice this. That Krishna karma means that, what does Krishna karma means? That you have done a karma and that karma is completed. In other words, it has not created another karma vasana and it has not created another material body. So such karma which does not create another body, which does not create another vasana, Krishna calls it as Krishna karma. So Sayukta Krishna karma krit. In other words, Krishna karma means that the karma you have executed is complete. Not even a trace of that stays back in the form of any desire and completely you are satisfied, and in that case the action is complete. Otherwise that action is not complete. That is the way Krishna sees the karma. How do we see the karma? When we execute the karma, have I got the 100% results, what I expected from that? The company has given me the bonus, what they have given to everybody else. If I don't get it, then my approach will change towards the company, isn't it? Why? Because the karma, in my ignorance, I have taken that it's only complete when I get the full results what I'm looking for. See where Krishna is looking at things and how we are looking at things. Our attitude towards karma binds us. Krishna's suggestion to us to do karma in this way releases us from bondage. So if we want to free ourselves from bondage, we have to follow the route Krishna has given us. If you want to bind us to this world more and more and more, we can continue with our karma philosophy. What is that? I'll do everything what you're asking me to do, but you have to pay me this, and unless otherwise I can't do it. And so that is one way of going. This is the other way of going. So here a lot of questions will come in when we study this Karma Yogam chapter. People will misunderstand, oh, does that mean I have to work for without any salary? They will ask. This is the first question. Everybody asks this question. When you start, well, I don't need Karma Yogam then, they will say. The answer is like that, isn't it? That's not what it means. It means that for spiritual perfection, spiritual life, karma is something that we have invited upon us. We don't need karma. It is something has happened to us due to our life in this world in ignorance. We lived in ignorance for so many lifetimes. And in all these lifetimes, due to our ignorant activities, we created karma. And that karma has manifested in the form of prarabdham and this body. And if we continue in that karmic state and karmic consciousness, we continue to live in this world, it will generate fresh material bodies again. So Krishna's point is that to free yourself from that state, you have no choice except to take to the path of Karma Yoga. We'll discuss it next Tuesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.